there be any stars in my car? Will there be any stars in my car? Can I give me the signs, O Lord God? When I wake with a blast in the mansions of earth, will there be any stars in my car?
Amen. And think about that too. Do a little bit of a Bible study in regards to the stars in your crown, to those souls that you have brought to Christ. You know, we have to start considering as a church family to bring in as many people as we can and invite them. Invite them to church. And, you know, and if they're new to the Sabbath and stuff like that, I would suggest only inviting them on Sabbath day, because if you have them come on Friday night, they may not understand the way we do, you know, certain studies and stuff, if you know what I mean. And so, okay. If you can kneel, well, and there's nothing wrong with what we do Friday night. That's not what I'm saying. You know, it's just, it's very meaty studies and stuff, and a lot of the young in the truth. I think it would just be best. It's a little too deep. And so let them come, invite them for Sabbath day, Sabbath study, and then, of course, Sabbath sermon. So, anyway, if you can, please kneel. We'll have prayer before we start. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us the way you have blessed us. Thank you for your presence once again, for continuing on through the service. Thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that may speak or text in the room. We thank you, Father, for blessing each and every one of us, each and every day of our lives. Thank you for all the trials and tribulations that we have gone through in the past that have not only brought us to our knees, but brought us closer to you. And so we thank you, and thank you for helping us go through the trials with smiles, too, because we understand that nothing evil comes from above. So no matter how difficult the trial is, you're allowing it for a reason. We understand 1 Corinthians 10:13, and you won't tempt us in ways that we can't handle. So thank you. Thank you for blessing everyone that's on our prayer list, especially those that we mentioned last night. And thank you for blessing all the workers and the work and everyone that's helping us do the work. And Father, those that don't understand that they should help in the work, whether it's bringing souls into the church, inviting people, or sharing their faith with others, or even just tithing. Many people in the church don't seem to understand that that's their duty, and they're in sin if they don't tithe, if they don't obey you. And so, Father, please reveal that to them too. And thank you for blessing us this Sabbath day with the changing of the showbread. In the name of your Son, to the best of our ability, we pray. And his name is Jesus Christ, our King and our Savior. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen, 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 amen. We got a praise to share after the church service. All right. So if you want to stick around after church, that'd be good. Some neat little miracle that happened. Neat big miracle that happened. I don't know. Miracles are miracles. Little, big, don't matter. I don't even, you can't even put a word in front of it. Anyway, as you all know, this is part 6. I don't know if I'm going to do a part 7. I didn't know if I was going to do a part 6, to be honest with you, but I don't know yet. There might be a part 7. I'm kind of like itching to do these other sermons that the Lord's been giving me and stuff like that, but this is important, especially what's been going on recently with Ratzinger and all the others. Yeah, I understand that, and that's kind of like I'm looking at that number 7 as like a completion thing, because that's our Father's favorite number too. It's absolute completion. Anyway, which is odd too, how I more or less come to the realization that I do this particular topic in this particular series. Part number 6 is because 7 years ago, that's right, 7 years ago, I did a newsletter on the way so many events were coming together recently regarding a one world government. Oh, yeah, the sermon notes. Let me get them up there. We got to go to... I thought I had it here. Oh, yeah, I know where they're at. Okay, hold on. Let me get them. Okay. Sorry, but... Oh, there it is. All right. And there's some pictures in here you're going to need to... Well, you'll see them when they pop up. So it might take a second or two for some of you to get these notes. And some of you might not get them because of the fact that there's pictures, because there's so many people in the room right now. So give it a second or two. Wait for it to show a dead page, and then click that link I just put in the room. And then you'll get it. You know, because if everybody's getting it at the same time, the team one can only handle so much. So as I was saying, in regards to, I mean, there's so much stuff happening right now, and you know, this one world government stuff, or as both Hitler and the Pope, the present Pope, by the way, likes to call it, a new world order. That's right. Adolf Hitler said it first. George W. Bush said it second, and then the Pope said it the third time. I mean, lately, however, the move towards globalization has been moving at a quickened pace, especially in the Western Hemisphere. I mean, seeing how the European Union is now a reality, this union that, by the way, I've been saying for decades, mimics the eventual global standard, they have been testing all sorts of strange laws and control methods so as to bring about a papal desire that, you know, across the entire globe. They had to have a place to test this stuff out, so they picked the European Union. Because they're not as, you know, hard to deal with as Americans. And as some of you may be aware, I cover much of this on my New World Order page on the website, and I didn't draw that graphic. It was some newspaper guy had a picture of Ratzinger there, well, Cardinal or Benedict the 16th, as he likes to call himself, with that cane with 10 heads on it. I mean, so that's pretty prophetic there too. Still, for the sake of tying the series together regarding the nearness we are in, according to the end, when our king comes to take us home, I think a quick recap of the most important aspect of that page on the New World Order page is in order here. I mean, especially since new developments have come to light over the years right here in America or Canada or even Mexico that proves this to be their agenda. And, you know, I just got an article the other day and one yesterday. I love the way the Lord does this. I mean, it just all fell into place. I needed those two articles. And one came yesterday. If I knew this was going to happen, but I was, it would be so nice if they say it out loud so that the students of prophecy can be vindicated with the truth we've been sharing for so long. So, as we saw back when Ratzinger was placed as Pope, immediately the one world government scenario seemed to be on his A-list, and then every leading politician's list as well. And rightly so, seeing how Satan controls this man's every move, including his recent resignation. Prophecy does declare a one-world government is needed so as to ensure the enforcement of the mark of the beast comes off without a hitch for all those that are in power. And in prophecy, we find rather plainly the following facts. Revelation 17:12. Now, I'm not going to get into all the definitions of these symbols. If you want each and every single solitary symbol defined by Scripture in the book of Revelation, then go on my website in the prophecy section and then go to the study tools section and go to the book of Revelation defined. It's all there. And don't try printing it out unless you got at least 330 pieces of paper. So, Revelation 17:12. And the ten horns which thou sawest are 10 kings. It's one of the neat things about prophecy. The angels sometimes define the symbols right after they give them to you. Anyway, the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. In other words, that new world order that they finally do build ain't going to last very long. But anyway, notice the following document actually used the same terminology of Revelation when it comes to kingdoms. Headline, adaptive model of the global world system. That's the headline. And it says this. I got this on videos. I got this on, this has been on my site for years. It says, the Club of Rome had its beginnings in April of 1968 when leaders from 10 different countries gathered in Rome. The organization claims to have the solutions for world peace and prosperity. The Club of Rome has been charged with the task of overseeing the regionalization and unification of the entire world. By the way, the word unification or universal is English for Catholic. Catholic is a Latin term, which means universal. Going on, the club's findings and recommendations are published from time to time in special, highly confidential reports, which are sent to the power elite to be implemented. And here's the source. On September 17, 1973, the club released one such report entitled Regionalized and Adaptive Model of the Global World System. The document reveals that the club has divided the world into 10 political economic regions, which it referred to as kingdoms. Now, those 10 kingdoms have already been identified quite recently. And I share this on my Antichrist track. I think it's on the Antichrist track or the Mark of the Beast track. Anyway, kingdom number one is Canada and the United States of America. Kingdom number two, and by the way, that has changed recently. I'll get into that in a minute. Kingdom number two is European Union and the Western Europe. Kingdom number three is Japan all by itself. Kingdom number four is Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Israel, and the Pacific Islands. Kingdom number five is Eastern Europe. Kingdom number six is Latin America, Mexico, Central and South America. Kingdom, that one changed too, by the way. Kingdom number seven is North Africa and the Middle East. And kingdom number eight is Central Africa. Kingdom number nine is South and Southeast Asia. And then, of course, kingdom number 10 is Central Asia. Now, I have a map. Where is it here? In box number two in the chat room here, where it shows a number over all these separate kingdoms that are on the earth right now. Now, look at kingdom number one. You see where it shows Mexico being orange? The Club of Rome recently removed Mexico from region number six and placed them in region number one for unexplained reasons. But what I'm about to share to you today, you're going to understand why they did it. And I believe the main reason is, I'll just touch on this briefly, is they needed to be able to manipulate the vote towards a Catholic agenda so as to assure Obama would stay in office when that day came, or the man that they have to put in office can stay there, or whoever they want to stay in office will stay there. I mean, the recent election wherein he won by a landslide and had the majority of the Mexican vote confirmed that assumption. The millions of illegals that swarmed into the nation assured him victory. And once they were given the ability to vote, that is, and be without being legal citizens. They even have driver's licenses with a pink strip on the top which says not legal citizen, but still they got a driver's license in America. Plus, having all these Catholics moving into the nation, because the overwhelming majority, I think it's like 85% of Mexicans are Roman Catholics. So having all these Catholics moving into the nation, one can be assured that Catholic majority of the Congress, which is already there, and the Catholic majority in the Supreme Court, which is already there, can easily pass certain laws that will bring about the enforcement of the Mark of the Beast in the USA first, because they've got a massive voting bloc on their side. And in fact, this has been their agenda all along. In 1930, a Jesuit priest said this, and this is from the, they call him Father, but his name is F.X. Talbot, editor of America, which is an official, America is the name of the magazine. It's a Jesuit magazine for the United States. And it was December 14th, 1930. It was in the New York Globe, as a matter of fact, this statement. They quoted it in the New York Globe. It says, the old Protestant culture is about at the end of its rope. Why can't we make the U.S. Catholic in legislation, Catholic in justice, aims, and ideals? Now, this needs to be done so as to have the authority in legislative halls to enforce the mark in America and then globally, seeing how America is not only the global trendsetter, but our military is now the Vatican's global police force as well, just like the prophecy said. And yes, it was prophesied the mark would be enforced in America first, but that's a whole other study. So just go to my Sabbath Attack page on the website and click the link that says Order of Events That Lead to National Sunday Laws for more information on that. Okay? It's already been lined up. And many that study prophecy and current events saw that the Vatican's New World Order coming at a much quicker pace are following, let me just share. I'm not going to go there yet. Because, anyway, let me just share this. Where did I get this? This is back in February of 2011. What's the source? WorldNet Daily, okay? I think I got it in here, yeah? Yeah, if you just click the, well, don't click the link now because it'll, you know, you'll lose the page that's in the room, so. But yeah, I'm going to have, this all is going to be on the website soon. It's going to be addendum to People Get Ready. Well, not an addendum. It's just going to be like part two, maybe. People Get Ready part two. I don't know. So anyway, it says Barack Obama and Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper quietly have taken a major step toward erasing the border between the two nations with a new Beyond the Border bilateral declaration. Now, this happened, like I said, in 2011. It says in a ceremony designed to, and no one knew about this, right? This is under the radar. They do this stuff. Anyway, it says, in a ceremony designed to remain below the radar of national public opinion, Obama and Harper bypassed Congress to sign on the basis of their executive authority a declaration that put in place a new national security vision defined not by U.S. national borders, but by a continental view of a North American perimeter. Now, seeing how Canada has now agreed to raise the borders, one realizes they need to raise the borders in Mexico as well if this is going to work. This is why we see Obama and now both sides of the aisle, actually, in Congress, pushing for immigration reform as we speak. I mean, we saw what Bush did by removing the borders so that the illegals can come in, and they keep on saying, oh, we're racist if we call them illegal. No, it's just plain historic or well-defined definition. If you say they're illegal, they're not Americans. They're in this nation illegally. It's not like we're being racist. That's just, I don't care if they're from Poland or Mexico or the Middle East. They're illegals. Right? But they're using the race card like they always do. And in fact, because of Obama's landslide, when the Republicans have now agreed to look into immigration reform in their own way as well, because they know this is why they lost the election. You know, they're finally starting to talk about immigration. With that said, is the USA and Canada now making plans to follow the leader in Rome? Notice, if you will, the graphic showing the North American Super Corridor Coalition, or NASCO as they call it. It's a pre-planned superhighway for the North American continent. It's in box number 5. And this is why I believe that Mexico all of a sudden used to be, as far back as 1973, under kingdom number 6. Now it's with us, kingdom number 1, with America, Canada, and Mexico all as one. And by the way, a friend and brother in Christ who often also happens to be a long-haul trucker, he informed me some years ago that this superhighway will have special lanes just for trucks, just for cars, as well as areas just for trains. It will be designed for the sole purpose of joining the three nations, you know, USA, Mexico, and Canada together, as one for the sole purpose that they say of economic trade. This is why it was imperative for them to move Mexico from Kingdom Number 6 so as to be part of Kingdom Number 1. Thinking as a money-worshipping globalist, one can see the benefits of Mexico being involved in the super roadway. Mexico's economy will experience a massive boost in revenue when they are found to be the main source of easy access to the spending habits of the Americans. You know, those in Kingdom Number 6 directly under them will most assuredly become quite friendly with Mexico and will also boost revenue in their region as well. I mean, all in all, this would be a good thing if it didn't have a satanic agenda behind it. It's as old as the Tower of Babel, you know, behind it. I mean, and by the way, this is why the law titled eminent domain has been hitting the news more often lately. I mean, and the Fifth Amendment is a little known stipulation wherein roughly defined means the government can seize your property if there is a need that will better the community as a whole. They buy your home or business at a fair market price, whether you want to sell it or not, and then they demolish it to make way for this highway. They've been using eminent domain for, I think, since the 1950s. I think it was penned, but it was penned back then just like with the 501c3. They knew eventually they were going to need it. Rome always works way in advance of itself, just like the military does. Now, here's an idea of what NASCO has planned. Now, if you look at the picture, you'll see it. It starts, and by the way, look at Kansas City here. Where is it? Right smack in the middle. See the 35 right there in the middle? Or there's a green ball right in the middle? That's Kansas City. That is the very first checkpoint. That's way in our borders before any truck is looked at or anything. In other words, they can come from the ocean in the Pacific here, come in there by Manzanillo or any of these places, you know, under Mexico, in fact, or even in Mexico, come in, never be inspected for, you know, nuclear warheads or biochemicals or any kind of bombs or anything. And they come in and they can ride a train to the highway and then take it from the highway and just get on that superhighway, and before anybody even takes a look at their truck, let alone what's in their cargo, is Kansas City, USA. Now, granted, that's going to generate an awful lot of income for Kansas City, but at the same time, an awful lot of risk. Anyway, this next headline, this little an excerpt from when I shared this online years ago, because this is more or less what came with the picture. And you can get this at NASCOCorridor.com, this picture source, for those of you listening on the radio if you wanted to check it out. But this headline says, Bush administration quietly plans NAFTA superhighway. And then it says, once complete, the new road will allow containers from the Far East to enter into the United States through the Mexican port of Lázaro Cárdenas, bypassing the Longshoremen's Union in the process. The Mexican trucks, without the involvement of the Teamsters Union, will drive on what will be the nation's most modern highway straight into the heart of America. As incredible as this plan may seem to some readers, the first Trans-Texas Corridor segment of the NAFTA superhighway is ready to begin construction next year. Various U.S. government agencies, dozens of state agencies, and scores of private NGOs or non-governmental organizations have been working behind the scenes to create the NAFTA superhighway. Despite the lack of comment on the plan by President Bush, the American public is largely asleep to this key piece of the coming North American Union that government planners in the new trilateral region of the United States, Canada, and Mexico are about to drive into reality. It's all prophetic. It's all supposed to happen. This corridor is to be 4 football fields wide, allowing for massive amounts of traffic. And keep in mind, this allows of low-cost Mexican goods across both the U.S.-Canadian borders will most assuredly be a catalyst for economic collapse for most American and Canadians, which in turn will enable the euro to take hold in this hemisphere as previously planned. However, now the euro may have to take a back seat to the Amero if what's happening in the economy keeps up. Because we've already saw what Bush did back in his day, and he sent, like, I think, 600 billion Ameros to China for some reason. In any event, Rome will have all it needs no matter who holds the dominant reserve currency on the planet. Of this, there's going to be no doubt. A prime example of their efforts to bankrupt the economy has to do with how they spend our tax dollars. Now, check this out. Headline, Homeland Security Promotes Welfare to New Immigrants. And it says, welcome to, it's from USA.gov, but there's this, you can click the source, go right to the article. It says, a website maintained by the Department of Homeland Security's U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services bills itself as the primary gateway for new immigrants to find basic information on how to settle in the United States, featuring a prominent section for new immigrants about how to access government benefits. The bottom line is this, obedient ones. Rome needs a massive Catholic voting bloc in America to get their agenda met regarding the mark of the beast. They must emulate Mexican governmental policy here in America so as to give the Mexicans a valid and more permanent reason to cross the border, since their government already gives them assistance at home. America, with its much better infrastructure, would do this as well. That way, even in poverty, they can have the appearance of a better life by being in America. They're still going to be on assistance and starving like most people are that are on food stamps, but at least here you've got lights on and you've got nice roads and, you know, you got running water in your house and stuff like that. There's a lot of areas in Mexico that it's like third world. As the immigration numbers increase, the American economy will come to emulate that of Mexico. In fact, that's their plan, so as to bring about the need for socialism. For example, bankrupting the economy is a surefire way to foster the need for a new currency along with a new governmental structure, one that is forecasted to enforce the Vatican mark. Dumping billions into the hands of illegal aliens is just one of dozens of ways they're doing this right now. Reason being is, when the immigrants bring goods into the market, they are much cheaper than the goods already on American store shelves. The already struggling Americans are going to naturally choose the cheaper stuff. This will cause millions of small businesses to close their doors, which will in turn cause millions more people to be out of work and looking for government assistance. Gee, isn't that interesting? And once under the thumb of government, the government itself, they can manipulate the benefits using a multitude, excuses, like they did during World War II with rationing. You know, and then it'll further strain the nation even almost off the cliff to the point of causing everybody to seek an immediate answer. And then a socialist form of government will be suggested as a way to get out of the much, I mean, it's much better than starving, they'll say. No, they're not going to call it socialism, of course, but that's what it's going to be. And what we see happening with this final New World Order chess piece moving on the economic, you know, the chessboard is the cap on their pyramid of power being well seated. Years ago, when we saw the one world court system and then the one world church system set up by the Pope at the helm, I've got newsletters and radio broadcasts all about this. We are right now watching what we expected to happen in the way they are manipulating the currencies all over the globe to head towards a cashless society so as to bring about that one world currency students of prophecy expect. Once they reach their goal here, we can be sure all nations will publicly announce their decision to dissolve their sovereignty so as to form the new world order previously on paper to an absolute separation into those 10 kingdoms prophecy says the Pope's going to lead. And not too long after that, we're going to see the mark of the beast fulfilled right here in America first, and then the world. And by the way, the only reason we see Obama using executive powers to pass unjust laws so boldly now is because of how presidents before him did it and never lost their seat in the Oval Office. For example, notice what Bush did back when it came to the superhighway. Headline. Bush sneaking North American superstate without oversight. And this was back in 2006, June 13. Right? We've been warning people about this for a long time. Right? And it says, despite having no authorization from Congress, the Bush administration has launched extensive working group activity to implement a trilateral agreement with Mexico and Canada. The membership of the working groups has not been published, nor has their work product been disclosed, despite 2 years of massive effort with the executive branches of the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. So they've been doing it since 2004. Why the secrecy, the article says? And it goes on, we did not want to get the contact people of the working groups distracted by calls from the public, said Word. She suggested to WorldNet Daily that the work products of the working groups was described on the SPP website, so publishing the actual documents did not seem required. They always got an excuse, in other words. So how they feel this will make our streets safer is beyond me. But then again, there never really was a terrorist threat to begin with, was there? I mean, the terrorist threat is nothing more than a fear campaign that can be used to push just about any controlling law to the forefront with or without voter approval. I mean, prophecy said they were going to have unjust laws, and so we do. It's just like what Hitler did. He burned down the Reichstag building, and he blamed his enemies for it and started the Homeland Security. He actually called it Homeland Security. And he did the exact same thing that we saw happen on September 11th, and directly after that, all these crazy laws came in. You know, some may fantasize and say that this would force Mexico to jump up its economic base to American standards, but that's simply not going to happen. It would be far easier to lower our standards than to raise Mexico's standards while at the same time assure the euro a home here in the West, or maybe even the Amero will have a chance to shine. Who knows? But quite recently, a brother in Christ alerted me to yet another scenario for this Nashville brainchild. It's found on the SPP.gov website, and that SPP stands for Security, Prosperity, and Partnership, by the way. They always got to try to gild the lily somehow. Anyway, it's as expected. Let me hold it. Okay, I'll read this in a minute, but it says they're trying to use national security card to push the strange agenda forward. I mean, oddly enough, they're also playing the flu pandemic card here as well with this. If you've been watching current events the last decade or so, you may come to realize a lot about what's happening with these flu viruses, these vaccines, and these other seemingly disconnected issues. I mean, looking closely, one can see that the puzzle it's got a lot more pieces than people think. And we're finally getting a look at that big picture. Now, here's an excerpt from the SPP article. It says, the SPP provides the framework to ensure that North America is the safest and best place to live and do business. It includes ambitious security and prosperity programs. Ambitious security, okay? You like the term dissension come to mind? If you've got that, you're behind bars. Anyway, ambitious security and prosperity programs to keep our borders closed to terrorism yet open to trade. That's impossible, absolutely impossible, unless terrorism doesn't really exist, all right? So going on, it says, looking forward, President Bush Prime Minister Harper and President Fox have identified emergency management influenza pandemics, including avian influenza, energy security, and safe and secure gateways, border security, and facilitation as key priorities for the SPP. The leaders also announced that the creation of a North American Competitiveness Council to fully incorporate the private sector into the SPP process. So, obedient ones. Yeah, that's the bird flu. Yeah, thanks, Gordon. The avian thing, that's that bird flu thing. Absolutely every possibility has been addressed here with this superhighway so as to ensure they can play any card in the deck to ensure their well-prophesied agenda becomes a reality. As the articles reported, the main port for all this Asian traffic to the North American continent will be, of course, the port, the Mexican port of, Lazaro Cardenas or whatever. I mean, with that said, isn't any wonder why Rome suddenly seeks to manipulate Mexican government elections? Headline, Catholic Church may influence election in Mexico, group warns. And it says, Mexico's historically fragile separation of church and state is further threatened by the president's close ties to the Catholic Church and recent efforts by priests to influence voters, a watchdog group said Thursday. Now, before I read on, you know, this reminds me of the time that they were starting to yell at John Paul II for his direct violation of church and state separation in America back when he visited, and he started demanding certain requests from the U.S. government, and then he built that little mini Vatican right down the road from the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. So they did it there first, and that's why they got all their eggs in the same basket right now here in America. And so they're naturally going to have to go into Mexico to do it because, well, it, you know, for the union. And by the way, this is reported back in 2006. It says the Ecclesiastical Observatory, comprising several organizations, including Catholics for the Right to Decide and the Center for Ecumenical Studies. Now, isn't that odd, Right to Decide? What is abortion? Anti-abortionists, Catholic anti-abortionists have to do with any of these politics in regards to any of this? Well, it's just a front to get them a voice in politics. Then they can speak anywhere they want once they get recognition. But it goes on, it says, and it will distribute pamphlets at 150 Catholic parishes nationwide Sunday, reminding churchgoers of their right to vote independently in Mexico's July 2nd presidential election. Do you recall how an act such as this, the election pamphlets of churches, was outlawed in the USA by the Bush administration to such an extent they actually placed spies in U.S. churches to prevent free speech from pulpits? I remember talking about this and showing some articles where some pastors actually got pulled off the pulpit by Homeland Security guys sitting in the back of the church, waiting to see what he's going to say. Directly after Rome used that law against a church suspected of speaking politically from their pulpit in Florida, they went into Mexico with this. And it kind of reminds me of all the double standards we saw Hitler doing in his day. I mean, in closing, and I've got to tell you these articles. I'd like to share one last article, well, actually two, because it just came across my desk. This first one came across my desk, I think, about a week or so ago. And here's the headline. It says, a single intelligent network for a new world order. And it says, in 2012, the European Union and United States agreed to allow the Americas to store up to, for up to 15 years, passenger name records, which is PNR for short now. They got a new thing, passenger name records, on every European Union citizen who flies. Now, keep in mind, if you've been watching the European Union since its inception, okay, I got my notes in here. Let me read them. It says, you know for a fact that it's nothing more than a testing ground for global version run by Rome. This is what we've been seeing since day one. I mean, what they're planning to test and enforce here is going to be enforced globally in the end. And when the 10 kingdoms are set up by the Vatican, it's going to be very obvious as to why they're going to be, you know, having passenger, name records on everybody. So anyway, the article goes on to say, although there are supposed or safeguards to prevent the exploitation of the data attempts by some members of the European Parliament to take the agreement before the European Court of Justice were scuttled by the Eurocrats in Brussels. PNR data, like national identification numbers, are keys that unlock countless files on individuals. PNR data on a passenger's religious dietary choices identifies a person's religious beliefs. Now, why do you think they're coming up with that one? Because, you know, the remnant people, the 1217 remnant of her seed type people, us, were known for not only having this amazing truth, but having the health message, which is the right arm of the gospel. They know that we are, the Jesuits rather, know that we are their biggest threat. And because what the prophecy says, it's going to be these type of people that go forth in that loud cry and cause all sorts of hassles for them to the point where they try to enforce national Sunday laws. Of course, they're going to say it's all about the calamities and all these other bad things that are happening in the world, but it's going to be to try to shut us up. And some of us will shut up, the weaker ones, but not those of us that have gone through the trials and tribulations with the smiles and handled it and understood why we're being tested. So it goes on. Geospatial analysis programs linked to NSA databases will ensure that the location of individuals who leave electronic fingerprints through the use of a mobile phone, a credit card, a chipped passport, that's the RFID thing in the passport, or any item with a radio frequency identification chip, which will be immediately known to intelligence and police agencies. There will be nowhere in the world to hide indefinitely. And I did not write that article. This is what I love about this article. They finally say what we've been saying for decades. So as we see, we've seen certain laws passed in Canada finding legislation, you know, strength here in America, you know, like the homosexual protections against the Christian Bible, where they made the Bible hate speech in America. Well, actually in Canada. But here in America, you got the Philadelphia 11. You hear about them with the Pink Angels attacked, and the Pink Angels were beaten up and all this other stuff. But guess who was in jail? The 11 Christians. And they got sued by the U.S. government for sharing the Bible. No, there's no anti-Bible laws in America, but they're enforcing them as if they are here. Why? Because Canada, America, and Mexico are already kingdom number one on paper. So having this global structure in which, when it comes to trade, would also force the nations that they have agreed to dissolve their sovereignty to agree to laws that are passed in the neighboring nations that are in agreement with the Club of Rome. So you can have some nation that's, you know, in Timbuktu somewhere out in the middle of nowhere pass a law that's totally crazy and totally anti-Christian. But because it connected to kingdom number two or kingdom number six or even kingdom number one in some way, if that law is passed and you're a neighbor today, you gotta keep that law in your country. There's no sovereignty anymore. You know, like the states here in America that passed laws that uplift neighboring states, nations around the world are going to have to do that as well now. This leads me to share this last article that was published just yesterday. I mean, I think perfect timing, I might add, for this sermon, to say the least. I love the way the Father does this. Headline, Obama skirting Congress in globalist plan. And it says, the Obama administration appears determined to ram through Congress a key part of a grandiose trade plan that transcends the vision for a North American union. And, I mean, they're saying it boldly now. Remember when I first started talking about it? When I started talking about this 15 years ago, everybody was saying, you're crazy. All the politicians were saying, no, there's no New World Order. No, there's no North American union. They would lie, literally lie. And now that they got enough backing, yeah, they go out and say it now boldly. Not a problem now. So anyway, backing up a little bit, it says Congress, part of the grandiose plan that transcends the vision for a new American Union, encompassing both Europe and the Pacific Rim nations, because the TPP agreement places arbitral tribunals created under TPP to the above U.S. law. The Obama administration negotiation of the Trans-Pacific Pact with the TPP, I guess, without specific consultation with Congress, appears aimed at creating a judicial authority higher than the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, it's already been done in 2000, but they're just acting like it's, oh, we got to do this, you know. Well, the One World Court is already here, and it's called the Roman International Criminal Court, year 2000. Anyway, it's the judicial entity could overrule decisions U.S. federal, district, and circuit courts make to apply U.S. laws and regulations to foreign corporations doing business within the United States. Now, I believe that the judicial authority higher than, than the U.S. Supreme Court would be Rome. Will they do so publicly? I wonder. Since they haven't said anything yet regarding their present position in the states now. However, as we see the widely published statements by the Vatican to declare the need for a moral authority on earth recently, they may just step up publicly in that position as well. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them, especially when they got, I mean, the Bible says when their wound is healed, they're going to stand up there and no one's going to be able to stop them from doing anything. With the exception of the remnant of her seed, they're not going to be able to force us to do anything outside God's law. It's just not going to happen. Absolute impossibility. But this would not be possible, of course, at the same token, unless the Pope, the next Pope, happens to be a very charismatic leader who supposedly cleans up the mess in the church of which the media can now promote globally as a saint everyone needs to trust. It's just like what we saw with any, like I said, for years, you know, you're going to get more and more wicked and hateful and evil presidents to the point where you're going to get a holy one in there, right? But they do the same thing in the Vatican, you know. Ratzinger agrees to be a real problem so that the next guy can come in and act like he's cleaning up, like save the day, the cape on and everything, right? And then and only then would it be feasible to stand as the world's moral authority, because now everybody knows he cleaned up the Vatican, right? Everybody knows he's cleaning up shop. I mean, the fact Ratzinger is stepping down in disgrace right now suggests this is their agenda. What better time to bring a new super pope into their office than after the present pope resigns in such dishonor and disgrace? I mean, everything from, the molestation scandal to the money laundering to, I mean, it's just, you wouldn't believe the massive amount of corruption in the Vatican. I mean, even holding satanic masses inside Vatican walls. I mean, as students of prophecy, we know the world needs to be connected as one and regionalized into these 10 kingdoms if the mark of the beast can ever have a chance of going global. It's obvious here as to how Satan was able to convince our leaders to connect each nation so as to assure his agenda is met. And it's money. He always uses money. As they connect politically and corporately across the world, their profit margin is forecasted to rise substantially for the super rich. And strangely enough, that too is prophesied if you look at James chapter 5, verse 3. And if you study prophecy and keep your eye on current events, you know exactly what this is all about. Truth is, even if you're new to this truth that we preach and have to do an in-depth Bible study on prophecy, knowing the basic facts about the mark of the beast grants you the necessary wisdom to realize this global intelligent network is specifically designed to track each and every human individual on the planet. Even if there was no mark of the beast, you can at least see that. It's there. Never before in the history of mankind do we see the means by which the mark of the Vatican beast could be enforced until now. We have precious little time left to get that loud cry out, obedient ones. If you're not actively doing all you can to spread the truth for today or helping those who can do it for you, then you get a lot to answer for when our king gets here. I mean, will you be a true, faithful steward of the talents he has given you? Or have you buried them like the unprofitable servant who Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 30, was cast into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is the prayer of this ministry and all those actively in work that we do, that everyone within the sound of my voice take part in this well-prophesied final act of the obedient children of the Creator God. The Lord needs you to use that which he has given you in this life to cause his truth to go all throughout the earth. That way, in so doing, the words Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 23, will be declared unto you that day, which are, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Hope and pray you were blessed by what you heard the Sabbath day. Please do so. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for helping us when we need your help. And thank you for blessing us with a desire to do this work. And please bless our children, our sons and our daughters, and their sons and daughters, with an understanding of what their parents see. Before it's too late. Your word says that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. We don't claim righteousness, Father, because it is your Son. Christ is our righteousness. And so when we pray, we lift him up to you. And so we ask that you bless our children and everyone that needs to hear this truth that we love, and even those that we don't know that we share these things with on the street or online. Bless us with many efforts and many opportunities to do that. And bless those that help us, that are faithful, because we've got an awful lot of work done, but there's so much more to do. But there are still some disobedient children in your number. Thank you for letting your hand be seen so that they realize that they need to be obedient in every way so that we can go home. We want to be home. We want to leave this place. But we don't want to leave without doing everything you would have us do. So thank you for blessing us to do just that. And to the best of our ability, we pray in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen.